This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We'll visit with Michael Henderson of the LSU Public Policy Research Lab. He has his final report on all the areas surveyed. Louisiana residents were questioned about many areas, and we'll talk with him about some of the latest offerings, including Medicaid expansion, and how do we view the media in our state. Also, Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate. The regular session is going on at the Capitol, and so far it's uncertain about what comes next, and the fiscal cliff is only 10 weeks away. And we'll hear from Jason Allen from the Louisiana International Film Festival. Starts in earnest tonight, and more than 50 films are going to be shown at Perkins Row, and we'll talk with them about what's going to happen. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And Ali Baltazar is producing. Your number is 877-217-5757 as we move along this morning. And a reminder that if you donate $20 a month or more this morning before the end of this show, that is before 10 o'clock, you can select as a thank you gift festival passes for the Louisiana International Film Festival, which is taking place tonight, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, in Baton Rouge. The pair of passes are good for all films while seats remain available. By the way, the festival runs through Sunday. Seat reservations are required, and access to the Filmmaker Lounge for receptions and gala parties also comes with the donation of $20 per month or more, and certainly we want you to show your support for WRKF in a substantial way, and you will receive a great reward by doing so, and one that has immediate gratification. The number is 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753, or you can go to WRKF.org. Also, since we're about to go to Michael Henderson from the LSU Public Policy Lab, the Manship School, tonight has its annual Hall of Fame event, and among the inductees, the Manship family, Doug, Richard, David, and Dinah, the first family of media in Baton Rouge, and also Dick Alario and William Dickinson. It's at the Renaissance tonight, and I'm sure it will be a substantial event, as it always is. And Michael Henderson, speaking of the media, you have delivered your sixth and final report for 2018, the Louisiana survey that is conducted annually. And this one measures Louisianians' trust of local media. What did the survey show?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. As you know, our survey is usually about what do people think about government, politicians, political issues. This time we wanted to add something a little bit different. So we asked, you know, people what they thought in terms of how much they trusted the media, the information they get from the media, how accurate they thought the media was, and whether or not they thought the media was fair in covering, you know, all sides or tends to favor a particular side. But we asked people about sort of national news organizations or news organizations sort of nationally, and then asked other people within the sample specifically about local news organizations in their area and how they cover state politics and policy issues. Generally, we found what you might guess overall, not a lot of positive attitudes about media sort of as national news organizations, more positive towards local news organizations, but people still see some problems there too.
This is kind of similar to what we see when Congress as a whole is measured. The numbers are terribly low, but then when an individual congressman is surveyed, sometimes the numbers are much better.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We see that actually across a variety of topics. We see it in terms of polling about like public schools. You know, mm-hmm. People tend to think their own local public schools are pretty good, and public schools across the country are terrible. Well, we can't all be better than average, but that seems to be what we think. And we see similar kinds of things with media as well. Although I will say there's still some real criticism we've found here towards local media too. So it's not a completely rosy picture.
What is the major criticism?
The issue of bias. On accuracy, majorities tend to say that the local media tends to get the facts straight. So they seem to have a positive attitude towards local media on accuracy. But on the question, and we modeled all these questions on questions that the Pew Research Center uses to measure attitudes towards the media in national samples. But the question related to bias was whether or not people thought that news organizations deal fairly with all sides or if they tend to favor one side. And we found that a majority of Louisiana residents think that even their local media tends to favor one side. 60% said that. Now, it's less than what they think about the national media, where almost 80% say the national media tends to favor a side. But still, that's a significant majority.
When you say a side, is it a particular side?
Well, I'm sure people have that in mind. We did not press in this polling about which side they thought was favored. But we have done, or I've done some research in the past, both in Louisiana and outside Louisiana, that is probably what you would guess. On average, people tend to think of media organizations as being sort of slightly left of center. So my guess is that's probably what people, a number of these people are thinking about.
Well, in Louisiana, Donald Trump got more votes than any candidate in the history of the state for any election, almost 1.2 million votes. And he has been covered with earnest, and some of the news has not been very favorable to him, maybe for good reason. But the local media, in large part, stay out of the national stuff, but occasionally we talk about what's going on in Washington and beyond. Donald Trump is a person who I would imagine if the residents of the state were polled, probably would still remain popular and would most likely win our state if the election were today. So how do we square the conservative leanings of our state with the media who presumably are not taking a side when it comes to their reporting anyway, but yet part of the process is being an adversarial adversarial position on occasion.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think a couple things are going on. You know, the media has historically at times played, you know, a watchdog role. And I think a lot of people would argue that that's an important role in a democracy. You know, most people aren't going to be able to monitor every action of government on their own. They're not going to just sort of learn on their own about every policy issue that might come before their elected representatives. So we have to get that information from somewhere, and the media is where we get that information. And so there is sometimes an adversarial relationship, and that probably translates into attitudes, particularly when it seems like your side is the one that the media is being adversarial with.
877-217-5757 is your number. Michael Henderson, director of the Public Policy Research Lab at LSU, is with us. The Louisiana survey has been conducted each year since 2003. And each year it measures the sentiments of the state. Large sample size. Michael was with us a few weeks ago. And how many, again, were surveyed in this poll?
In this year's survey, it was 852 adult residents of Louisiana.
And about three-fourths say that local news organizations keep them well-informed or fairly well-informed about state politics. That's fairly good. When it comes to trusting information, more Louisiana residents trust local media than national media. 78% trust the information they receive from local news organizations. Only 57% trust the information they get from national news organizations. As Michael stated, many Louisiana residents see a bias. 60% say local news organizations tend to favor a side. 36% say they deal fairly with all sides. And usually there are more than two sides to an issue. And it's a case now where if you watch these cable channels, you can pick and choose. If you want a presentation from the left, you can find it on MSNBC. If you want one from the right, you can find it on Fox News. So are we in a new age, Michael, where people are gravitating and having the capacity to have their beliefs reinforced and perhaps anything beyond what they believe to be the case in the world at large is considered unacceptable?
New in a way. We certainly have a lot of choice today, especially when you look beyond sort of traditional technologies of media, television, print, and look to, you know, organizations and even non-news organizations that can emerge online. So we have a lot of access, a lot of choice in where we go, and we have choices that, particularly in the national level, align with partisan interests. And so people can go and find their preferred news. And people have a psychological desire to do that, and so we see a lot of that. But it's not the first time in our country's history where media have been that way. For much of the later half of the 20th century, it wasn't that way. But that's in many ways the exception. I mean, if you go back to the 1790s, we very much had a partisan press back in those days where newspapers were tied to specific candidates in those early parties. So it's new technology, but that idea is not new in the country's history.
And recently, we've seen a flurry of media personalities at the highest levels making news, in most cases news they would rather not make. Of course, Bill O'Reilly and Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer, they're all gone because of their misconduct with co-workers and others. And then earlier this week, it was revealed that Sean Hannity of Fox News and a prominent radio talk host nationally, that Michael Cohen was his attorney while he was on the air talking about how great Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's attorney, has been. Now, if my guess is that if a person likes Hannity, they probably say, oh, no big deal. We'll leave the guy alone. And then others who can't stand him probably say, this guy's got to go.
Yeah, that would be my guess, too, is that you would get those kinds of reactions. We oftentimes approach and interpret specific instances and political events through the lenses, the partisan lenses and predispositions we bring to the table.
Well, we'll spend a bit more time with Michael Henderson, and we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate. And a reminder that if you donate $20 per month or more this morning before 10 o'clock, you've got about 42 minutes. You can select as a thank you gift festival passes for the Louisiana International Film Festival, more than 50 offerings this weekend at Baton Rouge. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, the pair of passes are good for all films while seats remain available. And you can call 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And if you like this hour of programming and you like the programming at all times on WRKF, or most of the time, a reminder that you make the trains roll. It is your contributions that are the biggest component of funding for this station. And this is one of the few times in the year we actually ask you to let us know how much you like in a tangible way. And we wanted to make sure that if you want to go to the Louisiana International Film Festival, this is a great opportunity to mingle with all the luminaries who are there. And if you want to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, any of the films that are showing, there are more than 50 offerings. You can do so by making a pledge of $20 per month. That's $240 a year, but it's less than a dollar a year for the great programming that's been available on this station now for more than 38 years. 877-217-5757 is our number for the show, and the number for the contributions is 855-893-9753. That's 855-893, like 89-3. 9753, and you can also go to WRKF.org if you so choose. And Michael Henderson is here with us, the director of the LSU Public Policy Research Lab, and he and his staff, they surveyed more than 800 people, 852 to be exact, in Louisiana, on any number of issues, and we talked about media sentiments in our state. Well, Medicaid expansion has been a huge issue. Governor Bobby Jindal refused it. Governor John Bel Edwards accepted it. It's available under Obamacare, as we know. And others on the sidelines are taking particular positions as well. Both Bill Cassidy and John Kennedy, the U.S. senators, are against the expansion. Kennedy more so, more passionately than Cassidy. But nonetheless, most of the Republicans dislike Medicaid expansion, and most of the Democrats really like it. What does the survey show, Michael Henderson?
Well, Medicaid expansion's popular in Louisiana, and it has been. We've polled on this, so we asked actually the same question this year as we had asked last year. But even before the state expanded its Medicaid program, we had asked attitudes towards whether or not people thought it would be a good idea. And we've always found that it was a popular idea among the population as a whole. And that's what we see again this year, right about just under 70% of Louisiana residents are, approve of the Medicaid expansion in the state. Now, there are some partisan differences, of course. Democrats love this idea. You're at 90% support. Republicans less so, but even there, it's pretty close to 50% of Republicans are approving. So it's not it's not so polarized that like 90% of Democrats love it and 90% of Republicans hate it. Republicans are split and Democrats are very favorable.
Well, it is a program that is expensive, but in this case, the expense is not coming to the state for the most part. Only a small portion of this is actually in the state budget. But do most Louisiana residents know the intricacies of Medicaid expansion?
So that's really the trick of it, especially if you start trying to think down the road at possible political implications. And that's really what we were trying to, I mean, less sort of specific about how this might play out in elections, but what we wanted to do in this collection of questions was to really tap attitudes towards two sort of signature policy changes, so Medicaid expansion and then also criminal justice reform. And what we found here with Medicaid expansion is it's popular. But we asked about, we sort of randomly assigned participants in the survey either to ask them the approval, disapproval question about Medicaid expansion. But we held a third of the sample where we didn't ask them that question. Instead, we said something like, hey, you may have heard that states have expanded Medicaid over the last several years. Do you happen to know, has Louisiana done this? And only a third of Louisianians know that the state's expanded its Medicaid program, which suggests that as popular as it is, most people don't even know that it's happening.
Really? Some other findings. 61% of state residents approve of criminal justice reform. That's an issue, of course, that if John Kennedy runs for governor, he's on the other side. He says it's a bad thing. Governor Edwards really likes it a lot. And most Louisiana residents, almost 60%, 58%, favor the death penalty. We haven't had an execution in the state in 8 years.
That's right. That's right. It's not something that is seen often in recent years, but it is something that's still popular. It's more popular here in Louisiana, or more supported in Louisiana in public opinion than it is nationally. As you might guess, it has pretty strong. I mean, the favorability is about 58%, but mm-hmm. opposition is only in like the low 30s. It's almost to a 25-30 point gap between favorable and unfavorable. So the death penalty still has robust support in Louisiana.
54% of the respondents do not think the criminal justice system in Louisiana is fair. That's interesting.
That is, and we've actually seen not a tremendous amount of movement in that question since a year ago in the overall sample. It was right above 50% last year. It's still a little above 50%. But we have seen some interesting changes among subgroups, particularly Democrats and non-whites have become increasingly see the criminal justice system as unfair compared to mm-hmm. a year ago. Despite changes in the criminal justice system through the reform mechanisms. So that was an interesting finding we sort of stumbled upon. I wasn't really sure what we might see there.
Here's an interesting question from Christine. I'm impressed asking about the intricacies of your poll. You obviously had a lot of questions. So do you ask every respondent the same questions?
There are a core of questions that every respondent gets. Then there's some occasions where people are randomly assigned to get one version of a question versus another. Sometimes we do that sort of as an experimental sort of approach to see like, well, if we ask it this way, will people respond differently than if we ask it that way? And we do that so we can sort of give a better sense of how opinion looks on an issue. As we all know, wording mm-hmm. matters and can shift around responses. So we want to kind of give a most robust interpretation that we can.
Can you have an accurate sample size when you divide it up like that?
You can if you only divide it up so many ways. So we really shy away from splits of more than two to three groups. With as large samples as we have, we can get away with that. Splitting further than that would probably get too small.
That's interesting. Well, you'll be doing it again next year, won't you?
We sure will.
Well, it is a fascinating collection of perceptions. Any surprises?
You know, there aren't too many real surprises here. I was actually a little bit surprised to see that the Medicaid expansion was as unknown as it was. I wasn't surprised to see that it was popular. We've seen that in past years. But given as much as you hear about it if you pay attention to the news, I was surprised to see mm-hmm. that so few people actually are aware that we've done it.
I would imagine if you ask a question about Medicaid expansion, you'll get one set of numbers, and then if you ask a question about, quote, Obamacare, you'll get another.
Absolutely. In fact, we did that exact thing last year where we asked people sort of both questions, and what we found is that Medicaid expansion is very popular. Obamacare, not so much. Or the Affordable Care Act, if you call it that, not so much.
Or words have meaning, don't they?
That's right.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate your good work, and we'll be calling on you again soon.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And once again, we'd like to have you among the luminaries and part of the film festival, the Louisiana International Film Festival. And there are some spectacular offerings. We'll hear from Jason Allen in just a bit. But a pledge of $20 a month or $240 a year will get you in this weekend to anything you want to see. And you'll get backstage and meet some of the people who are there as well, if you so choose. So please give us a call at WRKF, and this one is a different number, 855-893-9753, different than the one for the radio. But 855-893-9753 is your number, or go to WRKF.org. We're going to talk with Mark Ballard when we get back from the break, but we do have him online, and Mark is at the Capitol. And Mark, right now, where do we stand 10 weeks from the fiscal cliff?
Well, today is budget day. The House is going to be doing they're going to be debating a budget that fully funds TOPS, but also makes significant cuts for higher education funding and for health care funding. And there's a group, it's questionable whether they're actually going to get the 53 votes that they need, the House Republicans, to pass this budget. The Democrats are all against it. And there's a handful of Republicans saying they're against the way the budget sits now. So it's going to be a dramatic day.
All right. We'll talk more with Mark Ballard about this. 877-217-5757 is your number. And again, if you'd like to contribute to WRKF, we would like for you to do so. That number is 855-893-9753. Back after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757 or 297-5633, 225-297-5633. Mark Ballard's with us for a few more minutes. He's working at the Capitol covering the session. But before we go back to Mark, a reminder that if you pledge $20 a month, you can get access to the Louisiana International Film Festival in every way, shape, and form. Backstage, go to all the films, any ones you choose, and it's today, tomorrow, Sunday. And the number to call to do this, if you do it before 10 o'clock, so you got 26 minutes, 855-893-9753. We'd like to hear from you. Your support is essential to the well-being of this radio station, which has been a beacon of light on the air for 38 years. 877-217-5757 if you'd like to talk to Mark before we let him get back to work at the Capitol. And Mark Ballard is telling us that the budget is front and center today. What happens if the House doesn't come through with 53 votes? What happens at that point, Mark?
Well, I think, and you heard that when Lance Harris's clip a few minutes ago, in your newscast, is it sounds like they're trying to set up a negotiation for a special session. I mean, that's the strongest I've heard him come out saying that there will be a special session on that. As he was saying, it starts the conversation. My guess is that it probably will come out, and that the Senate Finance Committee will make a lot of changes, and then they won't agree, and then they'll have to do the budget again after the special session.
The governor alluded to this yesterday on his monthly show right here on WRKF. He said that three Republican lawmakers have publicly stated that some of the GOP members don't want him to succeed, that this is fraught with election considerations. Is that reality?
I would say that that is a reality, that there's politics involved in this for sure, and they want to see... They want to see a Republican governor in 2020.
And John Kennedy last week said that he's looking at it. And usually when people look at it, that means they're running.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he's looking at it. I think a lot of folks are looking at it. But John Kennedy will be the one that they all kind of look at to see what he's going to do. And if we look at his past history, what happens is he comes right up until you know, a week or two before qualification, and then makes his decision. So it's he may be freezing the field for right now.
225-297-5633 or 877-217-5757. Those are your numbers. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on the air with Mark Ballard of The Advocate.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just like the previous Republican governor, the conservative legislature refused to implement the expanded Obamacare for Medicaid people in Louisiana. The LSU School of Medicine did a study. It's a resounding success story for Louisiana. Now, I read that the average person on Obamacare pays a measly $89 a month for health care after they receive the subsidy. Now, most people who don't qualify for the subsidy, like you have to be a family of four, I think, with income of over $96,000. Now, the reason a lot of premiums have gone up because of Obamacare, you have to have hospitalization insurance, pharmaceutical coverage, cancer coverage. Before Obamacare, many of those items were never covered. Now, if you don't like Obamacare, simply change the mandate. But to take health care away from people who can afford to pay $89 a month, which is reasonable for those people and their income levels, is pure meanness and insanity in politics on the part of the Republican Party.
All right. I guess this will be a major issue, especially if it comes down to Governor Edwards and Senator Kennedy and the race for governor, which, by the way, the election is now less than 18 months away. I would imagine this will be one of, if not the biggest issue that the candidates will address.
It certainly seems to be setting up that way. We're hearing a lot of the House Republicans and Senate, some Senate Republicans as well, talking about how Medicaid expansion has actually cost the state. And, I mean, the numbers on that are not, they don't jive completely with what they're saying. But I believe that that's a setup for what's going to be a pretty big issue going into the next election.
No, I don't think there's any question. And, of course, Senator Kennedy is on record as saying that he would rather drink weed killer than accept Obamacare. There's not much.
Which he does not have to.
No.
He has health care from the Senate.
That's right. He does have health care from the Senate. Now, David Vitter, his predecessor, and David Vitter gets a lot of criticism, or he did, for, quote, being a grandstander. But this one I don't think was necessarily grandstanding. He basically said, let's make everybody on Capitol Hill have the same health care as the rest of the country. He wanted everybody on Capitol Hill to give up their plans and have Obamacare, and that didn't go very far. Not many people, even those in his own ranks on the Republican side, liked that idea very much.
Well, but the truth is that employers provide most of the health care for, you know, 80% of the population. You have employer health care. I have employer health care. And so we're only talking about those folks that can't afford to get policies on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
So while that was important, it ran into problems with the Congress as an employer providing health care as they're supposed to their employees. And that was where that kind of fell apart. But it sounded good, no doubt about it.
Now, yesterday, Governor Edwards said that he does not want teachers to have guns, but he would like to see an armed officer, at least one, at every school in the state. I don't know if that comes as a huge surprise, but he is definitely taking a stand on this.
Well, that was the first time he's actually weighed in on this issue. It does not look, I mean, based on the legislation, that we're going to see armed teachers in Louisiana. But having armed security sheriff's deputies and police officers on campus, I believe that a lot of the campuses already have that now. And what he would like to see is it in every school.
Well, he is conservative on most social issues, guns and abortion in particular. And on this one, it'll be interesting to see if lawmakers are supportive of him on this front, because on this one, I think he's probably where the state of Louisiana is. We're we're a conservative state, but yet we also are aware of what's going on in our country, and there's some really bad things going on, and maybe this is a way to thwart something like this happening in Louisiana.
I think you're right about that. I mean, I think this is where the state of Louisiana is on this issue. And whether it's a state issue or not is kind of up in the air. I believe it's the school districts themselves that make the decision.
Now, here's a remark from Michael in Baton Rouge about last week's show. You were on last Friday when we learned that Gus Weil had died. Michael said that he read the obit, and Mark wrote the definitive obituary for Gus Weil and was impressed. And Michael asked if this was already prepared. A lot of newspapers have obituaries prepared, but in this case, I don't think it was, Mark.
Not at all. I learned about it from you on last week's show, and we decided after the show was over, we need to get something up on this. I mean, we need to get a story up on it. So that was all basically done, as you well know, of it is basically done that afternoon.
Yeah, in an hour or so, Mark had a story with several people close to Gus, and it was a well-done piece, as Gus Weil got the Mark Ballard treatment. A note that a former WRKF board member, Kim Hunter-Reed, has been chosen as Commissioner of Higher Education, Mark. I'm sure through the years you've rubbed shoulders with her. She was once the press secretary to Edwin Washington Edwards.
And a little before my time, but I did rub shoulders with her when she was working as one of the key aides to Governor Blanco. She also was on the Board of Regents, or she worked for the Board of Regents, which she will now head. It was actually kind of, even though there were three candidates, at least around the Capitol, everyone pretty much assumed that she was going to be coming back to Louisiana from Colorado and taking up this role. So they have a lot of challenges, as we talked about earlier, that with the higher education budget being cut yet again. They're going to have a lot of challenges to make sure that colleges and universities remain affordable and accessible to the bulk of the student body in Louisiana.
Well, Dr. Kim Hunter-Reed is currently executive director of the Colorado Department of Higher Education. She's been there for 14 months, and she comes back to her home state, and we wish her well. Hopefully we'll be talking with her on this program very soon. We'll let you get back to work. What's your gut tell you about today?
That it's going to be a very long day, and that they'll probably pass something at the end of the day and send it over to the Senate. And that's what my gut tells you, but that and $2.50 will buy you a cup of coffee.
Well, thank you, Mark. Always good to talk with you. Mark Ballard, take care.
All right. Thank you much.
And a reminder that you now have about 15 minutes and 45 seconds if you'd like to get in under the wire. 10 o'clock's the deadline to make a $20 a month contribution to get a pair of passes, two of them, for the Louisiana International Film Festival. By the way, you can go to lifilmfest.org and see all the offerings that are available. And it is quite an array of exceptional productions from all facets of life that will be on display on the big screen at Perkins Row, several screens this weekend, today, tomorrow, Sunday. And we'd like for you to be part of it. Rub shoulders with some of the actors, directors, producers. You can do so by $20 a month, 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us. Ali Baltazar is producing. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Less than 13 minutes now if you want to get in under the wire for a pair of tickets, passes to everything. Backstage, you name it, and every production, more than 50, are being offered at the Louisiana International Film Festival today, tomorrow, and Sunday at Perkins Row. Pledge of $20 a month or $240 a year or more will get you to where you need to be. And there are some amazing productions with us to talk about it. And by the way, if you'd like to make your call, if you haven't heard the number a few times today or you heard it for the first time, 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753, or WRKF.org. Jason Allen is with us. He's been involved with the film festival all 6 years, and he lives in Los Angeles, California, wearing your Dodgers cap. They're off to a tough start this year.
Good morning, Jim.
But there are no productions about the Los Angeles Dodgers this year. But there are some sports productions, and one of them is Through the Banks of the Red Cedar. Yesterday we had Maya Washington on. She is the person behind this as the producer-director, and it's about the Michigan State football team of 1963. Duffy Doherty, the coach, recruited 23 African-Americans, and the Spartans ended up winning a couple of national titles and changed the college football landscape forever. It's showing tomorrow at 6:45 and Saturday at 11:45. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the date. And then tonight, you've got some other offerings.
Tonight's our opening night.
Right. And it's Blaze, right?
Blaze. Ethan Hawke directed Ben Dickey in the Blaze Foley story.
Blaze Foley. And I mentioned three. It's actually, when you count Blaze, four nights. And last night we had a pre-open at LSU with Fail State. But Blaze is a film that's getting all kinds of attention. And it is the one that you're showcasing for your opening night for good reason. Have you seen it?
I have not. I have not. Not many people have seen it. It's just received its distribution. So press and footage on it's been limited. But we're giving everybody a chance to see world-class feature films like Blaze, award-winning documentary films, and beautiful live-action and animated short films throughout the 4 days of our film festival. And as you said, it just keeps getting bigger and better, more energetic, if I could say, having been with this since the beginning. We're extremely proud to embrace our wonderful community here in Baton Rouge, and that's what we urge you to do, is to come out and engage in amazing cinema.
Well, it's the story of the legendary treehouse-dwelling musician Blaze Foley in the Texas outlaw country scene that he created. The opening night gala starts at what time?
Well, what we'll do is we'll do a filmmaker's reception at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Our events are all in the Filmmakers Lounge, which you can find at the corner of Perkins Row and Magnolia in Perkins Row. And then just down the street, we'll have a red carpet presentation with star Ben Dickey present and writer Sybil Rosen present as well. And then at 7:30, our first showing of Blaze commences. We've opened up an additional screen because this movie is wildly popular, so we want to make sure everyone gets a chance to see it. So definitely get your tickets, get your passes, and come out and join us.
All right, that's 7:30 for the actual film, but you got 5:30 with an opening night gala, and a lot of people who are affiliated with the film will be there, including Ben Dickey, right?
Correct.
Okay, so this is a great opportunity, if you haven't heard it before, to get a pair of passes and rub shoulders with Ben Dickey and people like Jason Allen, and it's only $20 a month, and you'll show your support for WRKF as well, and this station requires your support, as in you, to make the trains roll. And we'd like to hear from you at 855-893-9753. You've got 8 minutes and 30 seconds to get in under the wire for the pair of passes to every offering at the Louisiana International Film Festival. What stands out to you beyond Blaze among the many offerings?
Well, every single night of this film festival, we are hosting like amazing films. We also have our gala party, which takes place after Blaze. Ben will be performing with his band.
You got stuff before and after, huh?
Always. The Robux will be opening up starting around 8:30, and the party will go till 11-ish. And Ben will perform probably just after the screening gets out of Blaze, so around 9:30, 9:45.
Yeah, it's a two-hour film. Mm-hmm. Most of the films are no more than 2 hours, and some of the ones that are very good, like Through the Banks of the Red Cedar, which is sponsored by WRKF. And by the way, the film festival is also an underwriter, but that one's 69 minutes. And it'll show twice, and there are many others that stand out to me. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the Grace Jones documentary.
That's right. Great. We have, I'd say, quite a lineup of musical documentaries, including a documentary about Grace Jones, mm-hmm. a documentary about Sammy Davis Jr., Elvis Presley. The film is called The King. And
when is The King showing?
The King is showing. I'm getting into my program now. I'm going to give major props to our program director.
April 21st. Yeah.
Ian Burney is our program director. Nancy Calais is our guest programmer this year, and these people have done an amazing job.
Now, Ethan Hawke's in that one as well, isn't he?
I believe he's getting around for sure.
The Ethan and a few of his pals take The King, as in Elvis Aaron Presley's vintage Rolls Royce, on a spin through Elvis country. That's an interesting concept. That man's been dead now for 41 and a half years, well, 40 and a half years, and people are still talking about Elvis. He's been dead almost as long as he was alive. He died at 42.
That's the legendary aspect of music and of cinema, when we can immortalize our icons, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Well, The King shows Saturday at 8:10 p.m. And the one you mentioned from Sammy Davis Jr., I Gotta Be Me, It shows Saturday at 2 p.m. Harry Belafonte, Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal. They pay tribute to the legendary Sammy Davis Jr., a member of the Rat Pack, whose career spanned from vaudeville to the civil rights era and beyond.
And we have films for everybody, Jim. And every night you'll see that there's a highlighted film. It's called a gala. Our tomorrow night gala is called American Animals.
All right, American Animals.
Getting a lot of buzz around the festival circuit. These are all films that have yet to be released, but you get a chance to see them right here in Baton Rouge.
Well, tomorrow night is in Friday, 7:30.
Yeah.
If you're not going to see Through the Banks of the Red Cedar, you can see American Animals. Four buddies steal a valuable rare book from their college library, but the prank goes tragically wrong. You got me hooked on it.
I think there's a lot of hooks in here. You can check out our program in The Advocate. You can go to our website at lifilmfest.org, and that's, of course, where you can get your passes, VIP or all-access passes. All of our ticketing is digital this year, which is part of our growth and our evolution. So we want to urge everyone to get online, pre-select their tickets. They are going fast. This is definitely become a popular event here in Baton Rouge, and we're very excited about it.
And Allie says people are calling, asking for that number. It's 855-893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. $20 a month, and you can be there for any one of these films. You can hop from film to film, and you get to go to all these backstage events as well. So we've got Blaze, the main attraction tonight, American Animals Friday night. What's happened Saturday night?
Saturday, our gala is Heartbeats Loud.
Heartbeats Loud.
And I'd say that's a movie, you know, for everyone, in the sense that it has music, it has fun, it has a star-studded cast like Nick Offerman, Ted Danson, Tony Collette.
Ted Danson's in there?
Ted Danson's in there.
He gets around, doesn't he?
He does.
Sam, the guy from Cheers. Hearts will beat loud when a needy dad with a failing record store bonds with his college-bound daughter to record a song that goes viral.
That's right.
That's Heartbeats Loud.
And we have
Hearts Beat Loud.
Hearts Beat Loud. We have a full array of films that, of course, kicks off tomorrow around 5:15 and all the way through. I mean, starting Saturday morning, something to showcase is our official Louisiana live-action short film selection. We have a number of local filmmakers that get to feature their work in that.
All right, and I see Sunday's closing night.
Sunday's closing night, and we have two screens running. Stuck is what it's called. It's a musical.
Yeah, Michael Berry's chamber musical. Six strangers sing and dance their inner thoughts while stuck on the subway, joyous and enchanting, with Amy Madigan and Ashante.
And Michael Berry will actually be joining us.
Really?
Very good. Something we're also...
That's not the talk show host, that conservative guy who's on the air in some place.
I don't even know that.
It's a different Michael Berry.
This is the filmmaker. Something we're also really proud of is that this is not only a film festival, but this is a mentorship program. Something we've really been a champion for here in the state. As the film industry grows, we want to be a part of the education, and we want to build creative infrastructure in the state. So Friday, we're at Celtic Studios, starting at 9 a.m., giving a tour, a professional
tour. You can go there if you got one of these passes. And by the way, you got 2 minutes and 22 seconds to go. 855-893-9753, right before 10 o'clock, if you'd like to get in and make your contribution to WRKF and be a part of the film festival, Louisiana International Film Festival, in every way, shape, and form. And we thank you for the update, Jason Allen. Good luck.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Hope your Dodgers do better. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Ali Baltazar, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.